Kupidhad Bhaktavatsala. The cowherd men and women addressed the Lord. Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra. O Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees. Please save us also. Om Agyantimidandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare The cowherd men and women addressed the Lord. Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra. O Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees. Please save us also. This beautiful and famous sloka from the 25th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam was offered at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna by the residents of Vrindavan when they were in an utterly helpless crisis of life. Today we are celebrating Govardhan Puja. I would like to speak for a few minutes about the unlimited significance of this most wonderful pastime of Lord Sri Krishna. In the spiritual world, which is far beyond this material existence, floating within the Paravyoma, which is beyond the Brahma Jyoti, or the impersonal effulgence of the Lord, there rests innumerable Vaikuntha planets. The highest of all Vaikuntha planets, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead performs his most beautiful, wonderful pastimes, is called Krishna Loka, or Goloka. On this Goloka planet, Shamsundar and Srimati Radharani are eternally surrounded by their associates, engaging in assisting them in their loving pastimes. The Jamuna and the Govardhan Hill are two such eternal manifestations, giving pleasure to the Lord and his devotees in this spiritual world. When the Lord descends into this world, many of his associates also come to assist him in his earthly lila. So it was in the Satya Yuga, knowing that Lord Sri Krishna would be descending in this world and manifesting his Vrindavan Dham, that Govardhan Hill also descended. Sri Govardhan descended in the Himalayas as the son of Dronachala. And when he came down, all the great mountains, Sumeru, Himalaya, they all came to offer their obeisances and to offer worship to this greatest of all spiritual mountains. And it was at that time that the name Giriraj, the king of all mountains, was given to Govardhan Hill. One day, one great sage of the name Pulasya Muni saw the beauty of Govardhan Hill. So many wonderful waterfalls and caves and beautiful forest trees and flowers. The most charming of all mountains. We must understand that in the spiritual world, everything is personal. There is no such thing as impersonalism. The Lord, in the form of Sri Balaram, expands his own self as the planet of Vrindavan. And every leaf, every blade of grass, every stone is a purely conscious, perfectly developed soul, which is immersed in engaging all of its energies eternally in the loving service of the Lord for the pleasure of the Lord. In this material world, all matter is dead. The body you're living in is dead. Because of the soul within this body, the body is moving like a machine. But the body itself, like an automobile, is dead. Just like yesterday, some of our devotees were driving in an automobile. And the automobile was moving forward, backward, left, right, making sounds with the horn, sometimes lights going on and off. So many activities. Because there was a driver. But then there was a great crash. And now you look at the automobile. Just finished. It will never drive again, perhaps. But the devotees, by Krishna's inconceivable loving protection, they are alive and well. So you see, this body is like an automobile. It has some duration, and then at a certain time, we must leave it for some higher place or lower place according to our life. But everything that we can perceive with our senses in this world is dead matter. It is the soul which cannot be seen or perceived with our senses, which is the source of all life, which is the only life. But in the spiritual world, everything is of chinmayatattva. Everything is of the spiritual nature. There is nothing inanimate. There is nothing dead. Everything is composed of the pure spiritual form of the soul, which is part and parcel of Krishna. Therefore, all creation. Of course, nothing is created, but all existence within the spiritual realm is fully conscious of the loving service of the Lord. So this beautiful spiritual mountain descended in the world just to assist Lord Krishna in his divine lila. And Pulasya Muni, seeing the beauty of it, decided he wanted to perform his tapasya and his meditation in the beautiful caves and forests of Sri Govardhan. So he asked Dronachala, "Give me your son, Govardhan." And Dronachala was feeling very much brokenhearted at the thought of losing the association of this most beautiful and beloved hill. But fearing the curse of Pulasya, agreed. And Giriraj told Pulasya, I will go with you to your hermitage, but if you ever put me down, I will not move from that place. This was all the orchestration of the wonderful pastime of the Lord to bring Govardhan to Brajbhumi. Pulasya Muni began to carry Govardhan Hill, and just as he was traveling over Vrindavan, which is now present about 90 miles southeast of New Delhi, Giriraj knew that this is the place my Lord Sri Krishna will appear. And at that time, by the arrangement of the Lord, who is the supreme controller of all controllers, he created an urge in Pulasya Muni to pass water, to respond to nature. So placing Giriraj down, performing his duties, taking his bath, he came back and Giriraj would not move. Why you are not moving? Because this was the condition. If you put me down, I will not move. Then I curse you that every day from this day on you will reduce in size one mustard seed. We can understand that Lord Sri Krishna was personally speaking through the wrath of Pulasya Muni. Actually, at that time, Govardhan Hill was so high, towering mountain. But now we find it is very small in size. It is explained by Jiva Goswami and the other Vaishnava Acharyas that the actual reason why Govardhan Hill has become smaller in size is because of feelings of separation from Krishna. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Srila Sanatana Goswami, it is said that after Krishna left this world 5,000 years ago, in separation, the Jamuna will shrink and become dried up little by little, and Govardhan Hill will become smaller and smaller and smaller. This is actually not because of the curse of Pulasya, but because of the ecstasy of their love for Lord Sri Krishna. But externally, it appears in this way. So when Sri Krishna appeared as the son of Nanda and Yashoda, along with Sri Balaram and the gopas and the gopis, Govardhan Hill was a very, very prominent part of their spiritual leela. Because Govardhan would provide such fresh green grasses and such crystal clear waters for the pleasure of the cows. And the gopis once prayed that of all devotees, Govardhan is most fortunate and is the greatest of all, because Govardhan is so wonderfully pleasing the cows and the cowherd boys by providing nice fresh grasses and waters. So one year, just at this time of Diwali, in the month of Kartik, Krishna noticed that Nanda Maharaj and the other elderly gopas were performing a very, very grand scale yajna. So much stocks of food were being cooked, and so many elaborate arrangements with Brahmins, and they were about to chant so many Vedic mantras, so many offerings. Krishna inquired from Nanda Maharaj, what is it that you are doing? Please tell me. Amongst family members, there should be no secrets. So Nanda Maharaj replied that every year it is our family tradition. Since generations that cannot be traced back, we have been doing this puja. And it is very important. It is called Indra Puja. Because you see, we are cowherd men, and we raise cows, and we grow grains. And our livelihood is completely dependent on rain. Because no food grains can exist without rain. Anad bhavanti bhutani parajanyana nashambhavad. Krishna says all living beings subsist on food grains, and food grains are born of rain. And rain is born of the performance of sacrifice. So we are performing this yajna because Indra is the god who supplies all rain to the earth, which is an essential necessity. So by pleasing Indra, he will supply proficient rains and we will flourish in our community. So therefore, we must continue on this family tradition. When Krishna heard this, he spoke. And what he spoke is so important for all of us to hear. He said, Nanda Maharaj, my dear father, do you know that rain is falling even on the oceans? The ocean is not performing any yajna, nor is there any need for rain in the ocean. You see, according to the laws of karma, if you do good work, you will get good results, and if you do bad work, you will get bad results. And demigods such as Indra, they are simply bound to supply according to your karmic activities. Just do good karma. Just do your work nicely. There's no need to worship any gods. And besides that, according to the Varnashram Dharma, if one just performs one's duty properly, then everything will be supplied. And my dear Nanda Maharaj, Indra is supplying rain everywhere. But we can understand very clearly that the immediate source of our livelihood is Govardhan Hill. Because it is Giriraj Govardhan that is supplying all grass and waters, which is the basis of our livelihood. So rather than worshipping Indra and wasting our time and energy, we should use the same paraphernalia to worship Govardhan Hill. This is very interesting. Because yesterday was Diwali, and today being the day after Diwali, we find almost everybody in India is doing various family traditions and pujas. Puja to Lakshmi, puja to Durga, puja to Indra, and so many meetings of family members and everything else, which are all basic family traditions. And the reason that they're all being done is because for some economic prosperity and some good fortune, we are appealing to higher powers. But the day after Diwali, Krishna comes to teach us that this is all nonsense. Forget it all. Just worship me. Govardhan Hill was none different than Krishna. Sarva dharman puritya jamam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papevyo moksha ishami masucha. Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall protect you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. How wonderfully convenient it is that the day after everyone performs all of these materialistic family rituals, Krishna says, it's all nonsense, give it all up and just worship me. How many of us are willing to listen? Nanda Maharaj listened. So he said, Krishna,
we will do whatever you say.
Why did he listen to Krishna? Because he loved Krishna so much that he just wanted to please Krishna. Let Indra do whatever he wants, but I just want to please Krishna. We should know that this is the ultimate and only real perfection of life, to please Krishna. So to please Krishna, they received his instructions. He said, you make mountains and mountains of bhoga. Sandesh, rasgulla, gulab jamuns, halwa, rice, dal, chapatis, puris. And you fill up the kuns with kheer and milk and yogurt. And this they did. Big lakes like Manasaganga, they were filling them up. They were making literally huge kunds of sweet rice, condensed milk, and other such delicious preparations. And then mountains and mountains and mountains. And when it was all prepared, Krishna told them, you have the Brahmins chant Vedic mantras and perform their yajnas. And then we should have all the cows in the front, and we will all follow behind and circumambulate the Govardhan Hill. To this very day, because of this instruction of Lord Sri Krishna, this is one of the foremost forms of worship of Krishna, to circumambulate or do the parikram of Giriraj, Govardhan. And we find that the previous acharyas took this instruction very seriously, the circumambulation of Govardhan Hill. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan, it is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when he saw Govardhan Hill, he offered his prostrated obeisances, knowing that this hill is none different than Krishna. And when he saw a stone from Govardhan, he began to embrace it with great love, covering it with his tears. And then when he regained his composure, he personally circumambulated the Govardhan Hill. Similarly, Madhavendra Puri, it is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he also, in great ecstatic love, he circumambulated the Govardhan Hill. And in the Bhakti Ratnakar, it describes how Narottam Das, Srinivasacharya, Raghava Pandit, how they performed this Govardhan Parikram. Srila Sanatan Goswami made a vow that every day he would circumambulate Govardhan Hill. Today it is 14 miles around. And for years and years and years, Sanatan Goswami, with such great love and devotion, would do so. And when he was very, very old, in his 80s, with great, great difficulty, he had so much devotion to this Govardhan Hill that he was still circumambulating it each and every day. And it was such a troublesome thing that one day Krishna appeared to Sanatan Goswami and told him, Sanatan, you're too old to be performing this terrible austerity. It's such a long way. And Sanatan said, no, I must. It is my devotion to the Lord. At that time, Krishna gave him a shila and said, this individual shila or stone from Govardhan is none different than the whole of Govardhan Hill. You just circumambulate this shila four times and you will get the credit of worshiping the Govardhan Hill by doing the parikram each and every day. This Govardhan shila is still in the Radha Damodar temple. And to this very day, devotees go to Radha Damodar and circumambulate it four times around. But those who are younger and more strong, they regularly go to Govardhan Hill to do the Govardhan Parikram. And even today in Vrindavan, on the full moon, Purnima, or on the new moon, Amavasya. So many thousands and thousands of people are practically in line doing the circumambulation of Govardhan Hill. It is explained in the scriptures that of all planets within this universe, the Earth is the best, because the Lord has appeared in so many avatars on Earth. And in all the Earth, Mathura Mandala is best, because it is in Mathura that Lord Sri Krishna appeared. And in the Mathura Mandala, the best place is Govardhan Hill. Why? Because it is at Govardhan Hill that Krishna takes his cows and his cowherd boys to perform so many wonderful, wonderful pastimes. And it is at Govardhan Hill that during the springtime, Krishna performs Raslila with Sri Radharani and the gopis. And it is this Govardhan Hill that Krishna lifted with the little finger of his left hand to protect all the residents of Vrindavan. And of all the places at Govardhan, the best place, the highest place, is Radhakund. Radhakund is situated within the vicinity of Govardhan Hill. In fact, it is explained that Govardhan Hill is a murti of Lord Sri Krishna in the shape of a peacock. And Shyamakund and Radhakund are like the two eyes of this peacock. The Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas have said that Govardhan is non different than the body of Lord Shamsundar, and Sri Radhakund is non different than the body of Srimati Radharani. And they are forever together in loving union. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was living in Jagannath Puri, he was given by someone who had just visited Vrindavan a Govardhan Shila. And he wore it around his neck. And he considered it to be non different than Krishna's body. And it is described that for several years, that Shila was constantly moistened and worshipped by the tears of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eyes. Sometimes he would hold it to his breast, and sometimes he would hold it to his head in the ecstasy of love. And that Govardhan Shila he gave to Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das considered that by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's giving me this Govardhan Shila, he is giving me a place at Govardhan Hill. When Raghunath Das went to Vrindavan after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he made his residence at the foot of Sri Govardhan Hill at the place of Sri Radhakund. And it is there for many, many long years he did his bhajan. And Raghunath also, he would offer his prostrated obeisances to all Vaishnavas, and he would worship Govardhan Hill. So the origin of this most beautiful and wonderful form of worship that has been practiced by all great acharyas was begun by Krishna himself. When he told the Brijbasis that let us take our entire stock of all food and offer it to Govardhan Hill, chant the glories of Giriraj, and circumambulate. So with the cows and the bulls and the calves in front, they began to circumambulate Govardhan Hill. It is described by Srila Jiva Goswami that Krishna had another motive for this Govardhan Puja also. Because at that time he was 7 years old. And the gopis, headed by Srimati Radharani, previous to this, Their relationship was mostly in purvaras, which means that they were loving Krishna because they had heard so many things about him. But Krishna wanted to have intimate meeting with them. And therefore, when they were all circumambulating Govardhan Hill, all of the gopis, to their full content, would behold with their eyes the beautiful darshan of Krishna. And what to speak after Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill? All of the gopis, for 7 full days with Srimati Radharani, were in the loving presence of Sri Krishna. After they circumambulated Giriraj, they bowed down to Govardhan Hill, and at that time, Krishna himself personally assumed the form of Govardhan. And when the Brijabasis saw this, they were struck with wonder. And they all bowed down to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Govardhan Hill. One may question, sometimes it is said that Govardhan Hill is none different than Krishna, and that every stone from Govardhan is as worshipable as a deity of Krishna. And at other times it is said that Govardhan is a devotee of Krishna. We must understand that they are simultaneously existing. Just as Lord Nityananda Prabhu is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he is serving as a devotee. Similarly, Govardhan Hill is non-different than Krishna always, but is serving Krishna as a devotee. Krishna serves himself in his various manifestations. And this gigantic, incredible form of Govardhan Hill, which became a gigantic personality, took its long arms and within seconds put all of the mountains and kuns of Boga into his mouth, and it all disappeared. When the Brijavasis saw this most wonderful event, they were very ecstatic in love. They began to worship the personality of Godhead. And then Giriraj, after consuming everything, began to call out in a thunderously loud voice, "Give me more, give me more, give me more." And the residents of Vrindavan, they approached Krishna. "That this was your idea, Krishna. We have nothing else." And Krishna bowed down. Krishna was simultaneously Govardhan Hill and also the little cowherd boy. Having Leela with himself, he bowed down. And he said, "Oh, Giriraj, you are so great, but we have already given you everything, all of the milk, all of the grains, all of the vegetables, everything in our whole community has already been offered, and you ate it all within a second. We have nothing else to offer." And Giriraj replied, "Give me more, give me more, give me more." At that time, some of the loving Brahmins took a tulsi leaf and offered it to Govardhan. And Govardhan said, "Now I am satisfied." Krishna says in Gita, "Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchit." That Krishna is not so much concerned with the quantity, he is concerned with the quality of our love. But of course, the quality of our love is to try to provide to Krishna as much quantity as we have the capacity to offer. Whether we are very small and very poor, and we offer Krishna the best we can, one little flower, or whether we are very wealthy and we build Krishna big, beautiful marble temples, and spend crores of rupees upon wonderful offerings of chapan bhog. Krishna only sees how much we're trying to please him. Sometimes it is said Krishna does not see how much we give, but he sees how much we hold back for ourselves. In this way, in the path of bhakti, there is absolutely no hindrance on the basis of any material qualifications. All that bhakti requires is a sincere heart, willing to sacrifice whatever we have for Krishna, to please Krishna, to please his devotees. The Govardhan Hill celebration was a celebration where Krishna told that you must worship the cows, the Brahmins, and Govardhan Hill. After this Tulsi leaf was offered, Krishna was so satisfied that before everyone's eyes, a great miracle took place. All of the large offerings that were made immediately reappeared. The kunds, the lakes, and the mountains of Bhoga had now become Mahaprasad. Srila Rupa Goswami explains, do not think that if you offer something to Krishna, even if it is the best thing you have, that you will be a loser, but you will gain hundreds and millions of times over. It is the illusion of the material conception of life to think that what we give Krishna, we lose. What we give Krishna is of such little value in comparison to what he gives us in return. Ye yatham am pravadyante tham stathaiva bhajamyaham mama vart manuvartante manushya parat saravasha. That as you surrender to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates accordingly. You give little to Krishna, he'll give little to you. You give everything to Krishna, he'll give everything to you. And what is the greatest gift of Krishna? Not money or wealth. Not fame or prestige. Because all of these things are perishable. But the greatest gift of Krishna is when he reveals his love within your heart. Because that love is eternal. And it is the only property that will satisfy all of your spiritual desires. After this beautiful ceremony, the cowherd men and cowherd ladies, they began to sing and they began to dance in great festivities. And then all of these mountains and mountains of prasad were distributed according to Lord Sri Krishna's direction. Feed the Brahmins sumptuously, all they want. And then feed all the gopas and all the gopis. And do not discriminate. Prasad is for everyone. Even the aboriginal so-called outcasts, even the dogs, feed them all sumptuous prasad. In this way, Krishna established that this Govardhan Puja is a day of mass prasad distribution for everyone without discrimination. Why? Because every living being is part of Krishna. Why should we discriminate? Every living being has the right to receive the mercy of Krishna. Therefore, devotees of the Lord, they do not think this person is rich, this person is poor, this person is Brahman, this person is Chandala. This is an immature idea. Krishna says in Gita, Vidyavanaya sampane brahmani gavi hastini suni chaiva supake cha pandita samadarshanaha. a learned and purified soul sees that every living being is part and parcel of me. They see a Brahman, an elephant, a cow, a dog, or even a dog eater with equal vision. That every soul is longing for the mercy of Krishna. Therefore, through the chanting of the holy name and through the distribution of prasad, we want to reach every living being with Krishna's mercy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared that this is para upakara. It is the ultimate, highest charity to give the mercy of Krishna to another. After this wonderful festival, all the gopas and gopis of Vrindavan returned to their homes, very satisfied. But Indra was very dissatisfied. For one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. Indra was attached. For so many generations, every year, they are offering me this Govardhan Puja. When the information came that this child, Krishna, convinced all of the Brijbasis to give all of his offerings to a hill, to Govardhan, Indra was furious. He has taken what was mine. Janasya moho yamaham ameti. This is the great illusion. To think we are this body, to think we are the proprietor. Everything is the property of God. Thakurji knew that Indra, in his high position as the king of heaven, was becoming very proud. He has such enormous wealth, such power and influence over others, and he was supposed to be doing it all as a service to the Lord. But it is the tendency. Indra is a devotee, you must understand. But it is the tendency that even devotees, when they are too much associating with great wealth and prestige and adoration, that they become proud. They become infatuated. They think that it is for me. They think that it is mine. But actually, Indra, whatever power he has, he is receiving from Krishna. Whatever worship comes to him is meant to be given to Krishna. But he became deluded. And Krishna, when he sees his devotee, becomes proud. It is his love and mercy to smash that pride. Because as soon as pride enters the heart, all of your devotional service is meaningless to Krishna, the object of your love. Trinadapi suniche na tarorapi sahishna na amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Kirtaniya sadahari. Kirtaniya sadahari. To chant the holy name of the Lord always, we must be humble like blade of grass. We must be tolerant like a tree. We should be anxious to give all respect to others and to expect nothing for ourselves. This is the meaning of a devotee. To the degree we develop these qualities, we are devotee. We are Vaishnava. Vaishnava is not a matter of wearing shaved head or tilak or a nice sari. Vaishnava is not a matter of simply wearing the kanti mala and performing various rituals. The internal understanding of what a Vaishnava is portrayed in this sloka. That one who is humble like the blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and to expect no respect for oneself, that is the state of mind by which we can please Krishna. Indra became infatuated by his surroundings. And it is Krishna's duty to purify his devotees. So for this reason, Krishna orchestrated a major insult to Indra. You can imagine what a blow it was to his false ego in front of all of his heavenly associates, his family members. He was being deprived of what of his sacrifice. So in a fury of anger, he wanted to destroy all of Vrindavan. The trains and buses to stop for a few days. These clouds have such power that within minutes, if they can make the whole Earth planet one big ocean of water. These clouds are reserved only for the devastation of the planets during the pralaya, during the night of Brahma, and other such intervals. Indra said to the Samvartaka clouds that this talkative child, Krishna, by his word jugglery, he has convinced the Brijvasis to break all their family traditions to worship me, destroy Vrindavan and all of its residents. Clouds started forming, lightning, thunder, and torrents of rain started showering down, and it became freezing cold. At that time, the residents of Vrindavan freezing and shivering from the excessive rain and wind, in great, great pain, trembling from distress, trying to cover their heads and their calves from this torrential rain, which was falling like massive columns, they all approached the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga, Tvam Natham Gokulam Prabho, Tratu Marhasi Devanna, Kupidad Bhaktavatsala. Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra. O Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees. Please save us also. We find here that the residents of Vrindavan, they were thinking Krishna to be an ordinary child. But when there was a great calamity in their life, they all approached Krishna, and only Krishna, to save them. We can understand from this example that crises in our life are a great benediction. Although they may not be very comfortable to our mind and senses, when there is terrible, uncontrollable calamities within our life, it is the most perfect opportunity for us to completely seek shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. When we chant the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. This is the most wonderful and simple means of approaching Krishna. But our chanting has effect. To the degree we are approaching the holy name with sincere, intense feeling. One of our devotees had told us that during the earthquake, just last month. Such this devotee's whole house was shaking, and things were falling, and it appeared that death had come. And this devotee told me that he never chanted Hare Krishna so nicely in his whole life.